Hello, everybody, and welcome to Press Any Button. I'm Nikki.
I'm Eric.
I'm Mallory.
Special guest, Mallory. Woo. Woohoo. And today we're going to be talking about Sonic Adventure 2. Sonic Adventure 2 is a 2001 3D platformer.
Good recovery.
Developed by Sonic Team USA. Man, that sounds like an Olympic team or something. And published by Sega. It features two good versus evil stories, Sonic, Tails, and Knuckles attempt to save the world, while Shadow, Eggman, and Rouge attempt to conquer it. The stories are divided into three gameplay styles: fast-paced platforming for Sonic and Shadow, multi-directional shooting for Tails and Eggman, and action exploration for Knuckles and Rouge. Spoiler alert! There is technically a storyline in this game, and you know, it's possible that we can spoil it or could spoil it for you if you haven't played this super old game yet. All right. 2001. Yeah, so let's get into it.
All right.
Don't get too crazy.
Are you guys ready to hear about the exciting history of Sonic Adventure 2?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Faux show.
Okay. So Sonic Adventure 2 was developed by Sonic Team USA, which is a subdivision of Sonic Team, which is a subdivision of Sega.
So many subdivisions.
Layers on layers.
Yeah.
Sonic Team USA was started when 12 members of Sonic Team moved to San Francisco in 1999. It was established to gain feedback from the Western market. After translating Sonic Adventure, the first game they developed was Sonic Adventure 2, which took them about 18 months. The levels and environments were inspired by San Francisco and other American locations such as Yosemite National Park, where the team vacationed in the San Francisco Bay Area. So do you see the influence in the levels?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, like, I mean, right off the bat in City Escape, when you're going through all of the, like, super steep hills and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And it even has, like, a monorail thing on the street, doesn't mm-hmm. it? Or something like that. So, I mean, I have never been to San Francisco. My only reference is Full House. So, but I definitely get Full House vibes from that city. Yeah. So.
What about Yosemite National Park?
I mean, I don't know which level that would be.
Me either.
I feel like it's kind of any open park could potentially be Yosemite National Park. Is that where Old Faithful is?
Or that's,
is that, that's Yellowstone.
Yeah, that's a great question that I have no idea.
I have never been to Yosemite either.
Yeah, I'm fantastic at
but
geography.
I don't know. There's like some of the like forest levels and stuff. Or I don't know.
Yeah, maybe that. Maybe one of the forest levels. we're just guessing.
Yeah.
So the overarching theme of the game is the conflict between good and evil, with as much gameplay devoted to each hero's dark counterpart, which is why they decided to put Tails in a fucking mech. Since, I guess, Dr. Robotnik needed a hero counterpart.
Yeah.
So something I actually read on that was Tails might have been a last minute addition.
Oh, okay.
Because it was teased that he may be in it. And then the fans were just like, we have to have Tails in this.
Yeah.
And so that I think is why he's in the mech, is because they basically just, I think, reskinned Dr. Eggman to be Tails. So I think... Wow. I remember seeing that somewhere where I think he might have been a last minute addition, and that's why he's in the mech, is because they didn't want to have to design like a whole like Tails scenario.
But who would have been there if he wouldn't have been in there?
I don't know. I'm not sure if like when they were developing that, if there was not that like exact parallel yet. Maybe they kind of developed it once they decided to put Tails
in.
Yeah,
true.
Maybe it was just like supposed to be Sonic and Shadow at first, and then they were like, oh yeah, we got all these other characters. They're cool.
Yeah, true. Maybe.
I like how the fact, you know, he can fly. He doesn't need to be in a mech.
Right?
So there's no reason he needs to be in a mech. Anyway, just a little bit of a gripe.
Well, see, I don't know. Personally, I have really not played any of the other Sonic games. So for me, it didn't feel that weird because I didn't even know that Tails flew. But
well, you played like the Genesis ones, right?
Yeah, but I never played as Tails. I think I was like, I don't know. I didn't really play that much. It was like.
Okay, so maybe just the first one.
I think growing up, my neighbor had it, so I only played it like a few times when I went over to like their house. But
gotcha.
We didn't have the game or anything.
Okay, so the good versus evil theme carries over to Raising Chao, allowing you to raise Hero Chao and Dark Chao. The developers wanted the Chao to resemble a real artificial life form. You guys think they did pretty good with that?
I feel like that's an oxymoron, a real artificial life form.
Yeah, what is that? What? A real artificial life form. Well, yes, I think they did do that.
Well, and it is weird because like you have the Chao guy that like helps you through the levels and he is very clearly a robot. But then when you go into the gardens, they are more of like an organic thing.
Yeah. I never really thought about that. That is like a kind of a robot voice they have with that Chao that's in the levels with
you. Yeah. But I mean, like, that was one of my favorite parts growing up because I mean, I obviously played this probably when it came out, so I was like 11. Yeah. And so, like, me being an 11-year-old girl, I'm like, I get to take care of tiny little things.
Right? I don't know. I still like that part.
Yeah, I do too.
And this was kind of like around the same time, I think. Or like a little bit after like the Gigapets and like the Nanopets and all that had came out. And those were kind of fun. So it kind of reminded me of
that. It's
like
a Tamagotchi, but you got to actually interact with it on like a 3D setting.
Yeah.
So.
So Jun Shinu served as sound director and lead composer. The soundtrack is primarily melodic rock with some hip hop and orchestral tracks. And each character has a musical theme. Do you guys notice the different themes for the characters?
Oh, yeah, kind of. Like, yeah. Sonic is, like, more, it's like, rock, right?
Yeah.
It's what?
It's butt rock.
Butt rock? What does that mean?
It's just, like, it, like, wants
I've never
to
heard
be
that.
Rock, but it's, like, not quite, because I did, like, look up the lyrics to City Escape, because I will forever have those lyrics in my brain for the rest of my
life. Okay, what are they?
Here, I'll pull it up. And they're really, kind of like we were talking before about them just being kind of weird. So it's rolling around at the speed of sound, got places to go, gotta follow my rainbow. Can't stick around, have to keep moving on. Guess what lies ahead? Only one way to find out. Must keep on moving ahead. No time for guessing, follow my plan instead. Trusting in what you can't see, take my lead, I'll set you free.
Ooh.
Follow me, set me free, trust me, and we'll escape from the city. What?
Okay.
Follow me, but set me free. I don't.
Follow me, but set me free.
Huh. Yeah. It's really deep. Mm.
Exactly.
Really makes you think.
Yeah. Maybe he wants to start a cult, and the only way he can be set free is if he has a lot of followers.
Then
he can be accepted into heaven.
Is that how cults work? Some of the like earliest advertisements for this game actually had a heaven and hell like Christian kind of like theme to them, where actually had Sonic with like heavenly bodies and a unicorn. I'll have to show you this later. We might have to like post it somewhere, but like it's like Sonic and he's got like all these like angels and stuff and a unicorn behind him, which is weird, and then Shadow has like all these demons and stuff behind him.
Yeah.
And then there's another poster with Sonic with an actual like halo, so like they really were playing off of the like heaven and hell with these two like characters.
That's cool.
Oh my gosh, it was ridiculous.
That sounds amazing. They should have kept that in,
right? And then Knuckles is like the rap.
Yeah I was like, Knuckles has rap, and then what about Eggman and stuff?
They're probably more of like that orchestral. It might have been like more mechanical because they are both in mechs.
Yeah, like, more, maybe like a more industrial
more
theme or something.
Musical than words.
But overall, I like the music. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe the lyrics are cheesy, but half of pop songs have cheesy lyrics.
That's true.
Right?
Yeah.
You don't question it. Just don't question it too much. Just go with the underlying message, which I think is, never stop.
Exactly.
Right? Never give up. Don't quit, kids.
Okay, so moving on. Sonic Adventure 2 received generally favorable reviews. It sold around 500,000 copies for Dreamcast and 1.4 million copies for GameCube, making it one of the GameCube's best-selling games.
Wow. I always forget that, like, so I guess Sega and Nintendo kind of have a deal going on or something.
Well, like, this game was actually the last game at Sega and the first Sonic game on a Nintendo
console. Yeah.
So, like, because it was released on the GameCube, but it was, like, the...
Now, did Sonic switch over at some point from being Sega to Nintendo?
No, it switched over from being Sega to just being being a third-party developer.
That okay, would go on. Because Sega kind of stopped doing...
They stopped making consoles.
Yeah, they stopped making consoles.
Okay, gotcha.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, that was around the time they stopped making consoles. They decided they weren't going to do anything after Dreamcast.
I know, because I see a bunch of Sonic games on the Switch now, too. Like new ones and stuff. So
yeah.
I was kind of wondering about that.
There's a petition to get this one on the Switch. And if that happens, I'm all over it.
The Xbox, actually, and PlayStation, I think, have Sonic games too.
Oh, cool.
Okay, so Sonic Team USA moved back to Japan in 2008 and merged back into Sonic Team. So, yeah. So they were over here for a little while. They made some Sonic games, and then they moved back to Japan.
Okay.
So now there's no subdivision of Sonic Team USA. It's just Sonic Team.
R.I.P.
Yeah, the Olympic team is no longer.
Didn't do good enough for them to stay here, I guess.
Yeah. And that's the past section, but we have some fun facts.
Fun facts.
And I believe Mallory has some fun facts as well.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So one kind of spearing off of like them being obviously a Japanese company and things like that. So there were a lot of designs for Shadow before he actually became like the red and black hedgehog, which hedgehogs being the ultimate life form, that's like a kind of a whole other topic. But so a lot of his previous designs featured him with like scarring or only like one eye, but they thought it was way too scary.
Ooh, they could have put an eye patch on him.
Of ones with like him having an eye patch with like a scar through his eye, and like that eye was like a different color. But they actually settled on the red and black, modeling it after the Japanese kabuki face paint.
Oh,
so
that's
he's like
cool.
modeled
yeah.
after like a theater form.
Cool.
Which that was kind of cool. And he's also less scary because he's got two eyes.
I just thought, because, you know, it came out like 2001. That was kind of like when the emo stuff was starting to get really popular. Yeah. So I just thought they wanted to make him like the emo version.
Super angsty.
Yeah, super
is.
Angsty.
I feel like he is the emo
version.
Black
hair and everything.
But I always felt like Knuckles was kind of Sonic's rival. So I feel like it's weird that they decided Sonic needed a cooler rival than Knuckles, because Knuckles is pretty cool too, right?
Yeah. But this being kind of my first Sonic game, to be completely honest, like I hit like came in it with like, oh, he is part of Sonic's team. And then seeing other games and seeing Knuckles being the actual rival, I was like, I don't understand this. Like, wait, what? But he is a really cool character.
Yeah, no, I agree. I like Shadow a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But he feels like, how many cool rivals does Sonic need? I guess never enough.
Yeah. Also, we met Shadow.
I know.
At Dragon Con. And now I want to do Sonic cosplay because all the like characters have really cool outfits and stuff. Yeah.
So, and then speaking of other villains, so this I actually did not plan, but as we were like playing the game last night, literally, we realized Rouge's voice sounds really familiar.
Mm-hmm.
She's voiced by Lonnie Minella, who also voices Nancy Drew.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. That is like, what a coincidence.
I know. I was just like, her voice sounds really familiar. And I looked it up and I was like, it's the same voice actress as Nancy Drew.
I mean, but that voice actress does a lot of different stuff.
She does a lot of different, like, mainly for games. But she has, like, a 4-octave range as far as, like, where she can take her voice.
Wow.
That's pretty crazy.
So she can do a lot of different, like, types of voices. But I thought that was very funny.
Yeah. And if you're listening and you're wondering, like, why that's a coincidence, when we covered the Nancy Drew game, it was mostly because of Mallory. Because you've been replaying all the old Nancy Drew games. And for our podcast, you gave us, your 5 tips for playing Nancy Drew.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of funny that the game you picked, I mean, that they have that connection. So.
Exactly. Especially because, kind of like when you read my email, I don't play a lot of video games. And yeah. So that is also why I wanted to pick something very different than Nancy Drew and like a hidden object game or something. I wanted to pick something that was very different. And this is like one of the only other games that I was really obsessed with growing up. Like, I absolutely loved playing Sonic Adventure 2. And I just thought that was very funny. It was very funny coincidence.
I mean, it was inevitable for us to do right? a Sonic game eventually. You can't talk about video games and yeah. not exactly. like yeah. think of Sonic. He's iconic.
Yeah, exactly. He really is. Yeah.
And so, then we got more fun facts.
I have one more that's kind of cool. And if I am encroaching on the fun and fun facts yeah. that you have.
No, you haven't done any of the ones that
we're gonna get so many fun facts.
So this one I thought was really interesting. With the challenge I gave you, I know it didn't require you to play throughout the entire game. Did you guys play through the entire game?
No.
We didn't try. It's hard.
When we get to pros and cons, I'll tell you why, you know, but that's also why I gave you the challenge that I did, because
you know that's hard.
I know it's hard. Yeah. But like, you probably got to where Knuckles is fighting King Boom Boo.
Yeah, yeah, I got that far.
Well, I saw it. We watched a speed run today.
Did you?
Yeah. Oh my God. Well, he only did the Heroes campaign. Yeah, but it was I love like King Boom Boo. He's like, he's really, yeah. I love the name, honestly, and he looks cool. So
he did it in like 30 minutes too. It's incredible.
Yeah, the speed runs are insane on this game because it's so glitchy. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's so glitchy, but especially with the port and everything. But with King Boom Boo, so while Sega did take the name Boo from Nintendo,
mm-hmm.
King Boom Boo came before King Boo in the Mario universe.
Really?
So Luigi's Mansion is the first appearance of King Boo, which came out a couple months after Sonic Adventure 2.
Interesting.
Now, obviously, we know it takes a long time for games to get made and developed and things like that. They obviously already had the Boo character, but it could have just been a sneaky thing on Sega's part to be like, we know this game's coming out before Luigi's Mansion. Let's go ahead and make a King Boom Boo.
Yeah.
But I thought that was kind of funny that actually came out before King Boo in Luigi's Mansion.
That's funny.
That is really funny. And his name is so weird. Boom Boo. Like,
right?
I don't I didn't get the boom part. Like, he doesn't blow anything up. He doesn't, like,
he's
there are
the
no
most annoying.
Yeah, there's no explosions in his boss fight. So why the boom?
And it's not even that, like, it's not even an easy name to say.
Yeah, it just makes it kind of harder to say.
You almost just sound like you're saying boo boo.
Boom boo.
But
maybe they wanted to do King Boo Boo, but then they were like, nah, that sounds stupid.
It's like you change it like just enough from Nintendo where they're not going to sue you. Yeah. Like.
Exactly. I mean, that's probably why, honestly.
Probably.
All right, let's hear your fun fact, Eric.
Okay, fun fact number one. This is Shadow the Hedgehog's first game.
What?
Yeah, in fact, yeah, and Mallory already talked about the idea for Shadow. They kind of wanted like a cool Sonic, I guess.
Oh, they didn't think Sonic was cool.
Or Dr. Robotnik, he's cool.
Yeah.
He builds all those animal robot things.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
Yeah, that's cool.
Okay, so fun fact number two. Sonic Adventure 2 was supposed to be Shadow's only appearance in a game, but fan popularity led to him returning in 2003 to Sonic Heroes and eventually getting his own self-titled spin-off game where he wields a bazooka on the cover.
Dang.
With an explosion behind him.
He made it big.
I've watched gameplay of that game and it's insane.
Yeah, it's like a Sonic game, but Shadow has like a whole arsenal of different guns.
Yeah.
It's like, once you create a character, you have no control over how popular it gets. You know, like, if people go crazy for it, they're going to obviously make more games for Shadow, which they did. So,
yeah.
Well, I love when that happens, when the creators are like, this will just be like a one-off character. He's cool, but he's not that cool, you know? And then he comes out and everyone's like, he's awesome! Give us more Shadow!
People love an angsty hedgehog.
Yeah.
They're like, I can relate. He's my soul hedgehog.
And then my final fun fact, Big the Cat makes several cameo appearances. He can be found in most stages and boss fights and even some cutscenes if you look hard enough.
What?
Did you see any Big the Cats?
I don't know who Big the Cat is.
It's like a big cat.
Oh, okay.
He's a weird looking character. Yeah, he's kind of all the other. He looks unfinished.
Yeah,
like he doesn't look.
I'm not sure if I did or not. Did you?
Oh yeah, I saw a bunch. It's just like, what the heck is that?
Like when you know when to.
Well, now that you've talked about it, yeah.
What system did you guys play on?
Oh, Steam.
Steam. Okay.
Yeah.
So I have my original GameCube disc that I still have.
Nice.
And so I played it on my Wii with a GameCube controller.
Oh, neat. Well, wow, that's like high tech.
We had to Amazon a lot of cords.
Thanks. You want to give a shout out to William for helping me with that?
Yes. Because I was like, I don't know what any of these cords do or what they need to happen. But yeah, he figured out what we needed to plug in to make that happen.
Nice.
And I think it's also one of the only games that I can actually beat him at, which is great for me.
Yeah, that's awesome.
It's few and far between.
Yeah, I'm not better than Eric at this game.
But I think like the different ports have like, because I think with the GameCube port or something like that, like he's harder to find.
Oh, interesting.
Because I remember seeing that because he's like behind like these bars in one section. He's like fishing in another section, but I don't know if those are available in like certain versions of the game.
That's interesting. Yeah, I think he was added more in some of the later versions for sure. But yeah, I just see him exploring. I'm like, okay, I see him in the cell. Can I open the cell or interact with him in any way? And you can't. You just have to look at him and it's just like, okay, that's weird. Okay, yeah, so that's the fun facts. We can move to pros and cons.
Ooh. Obviously, you like it, Mallory.
I was
going
to say, I don't know if you want me to start, because obviously, I mean, I picked this game.
I don't know. You picked it. You should start. What's your first pro?
So one of my big things, and this is probably one that comes with, like, playing the game a lot, is, like, once you start really getting the rhythm of the game, it's just a very satisfying game to play. So one of the caveats, and I might go to the con on this, is with playing it with the Wii, with a GameCube controller, the controls were very different than what I remember playing on the actual GameCube.
Oh, no.
So it was, and I haven't played in probably like 10 years or something like that. So, but I just remember when I was playing it when I was younger and like already knowing like where to go and everything, it just felt very like smooth and satisfying to me. Mm-hmm. And it almost felt like a Rube Goldberg machine where it just like you start a chain reaction, especially the Sonic levels where you're just like you're going and things are just like smoothly just like falling into place, and then like I really love like the honing, you know, aspects of it where you get to like, you know, go from like destructible thing to destructible thing and like Tails and with the like locking onto, you know, enemies and being able to lock onto a bunch at once and then shooting them all. I don't know, I found it incredibly satisfying. So that's my probably biggest pro.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things about Sonic games in general is that, like, once you start, you should not really stop. If you stop, I feel like you lose your momentum.
Exactly.
You know? But, like, once you get a good momentum and you get the controls down and, like, you make it through without dying. I mean, I wouldn't know because I don't think I made it through any levels without dying. But yeah. I'm sure it is very satisfying.
Yeah, I thought the variety of game styles really helped it from getting too monotonous. You would go back and forth between these different play styles and, you know, yeah, they're pretty good. Like they're all each developed pretty well.
Yeah. And I like, with like the hero and villain, like aspect of it, you're not playing the same game twice. I mean, there are some like similarities and some like levels that are the same, but you're not just playing the same game over again.
Yeah. They designed completely different levels for the different, characters, which is great.
Yeah. Which is, like, one of my pros is, obviously, all the great characters in this game.
Yeah.
You have, like, 6 different characters you can play as. And it's cool that you get to play, like, the heroes and the villains. Because not a lot of games, I feel like, let you do both. So.
Yeah, and they gave them equal playtime, which is actually kind of amazing to me that they rationed that these other characters should have as much time as Sonic. It actually kind of makes the game better, in my opinion. That it's not too overly Sonic focused. Like you have all these other characters to help break things up and change the styles and be fun.
Yeah, just all the fun characters. I really liked Amy Rose. I mean, you don't really get to play as her even, but she just comes in. I think I just liked her outfit a lot and her pink hair. I don't know. I think I might want to cosplay. But, and then like I keep wanting to call her Rogue. I don't know why. I guess because of X-Men. But Rouge.
Yeah.
Her, like, bat wings and her outfit is really cool, too.
They have different skins that you could unlock if you, like, beat on, like, expert metal or something like that. And she has, like, a full-on, like, dominatrix. Like,
oh. That doesn't surprise me. That does not surprise me. They made her boobs huge.
Oh, I almost included that, like, in my rap.
Boobs. You should have, because I was just like, whoa. Yeah. The dude definitely designed this character. What's something that you like, Eric, or something else, I guess?
Raising Chows is a delight and clearly the best part of the game.
Oh my god, I love it. That actually for me was the best part of the game. I just wish I didn't have to play the level to get the things to feed my chow. I wish there was like a more relaxing way to get all the stuff my chow needs, because I wanted to just go back and hang out with them and get them things. Like, the levels for me were like super stressful because I'm not good at this game at all, and I would just die like 5,000 times. Like, even the first boss took me like 20 tries to beat. And watching that speedrun today made me feel really stupid, but he beat it in like 2 seconds.
Those speedrunners like run the game for probably months to years, like, to get that.
I mean, yeah. I know. But I don't know. Like, the levels were just really stressful for me because I died a whole lot, and then it was like really relaxing to get to go into the garden and just level up your chows. And even if you're racing your chows or whatever you want to do with them, it's still kind of relaxing.
Yeah, still kind of laid back.
Yeah,
it's a nice, like, divergent, you know, kind of feeling from doing all the, like, really fast paced, you know, like, levels or hunting those stupid emeralds. That's probably
oh my gosh.
But yeah, I remember, I think, playing just the city escape level over and over again so that I could just, like, farm those little, like, chow vials and, like, animals and stuff just to, like, level them
up.
So I would just play, like, one level over and over again.
Nice.
Oh my gosh, I didn't even think about to do that. That's really smart.
The only other thing is, like, the animals that you get are dependent on the level that you're playing.
Mm-hmm.
So there, and I don't know if you guys saw this, but there's 3 chow boxes in every level. So the first one is the key. The second one is like a whole bunch of different animals. And the third one is actually like a really rare animal.
Oh.
And so, like, the third box is obviously the hardest one to find. And it actually, like, you don't have to find them in order. It's just whatever is the first one you find is always the key.
Mm-hmm.
So if you end up finding all 3, which is usually really hard, you get this like rare animal. And then also in the levels, there are weird pipes. I don't know if you saw them.
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah, you can and whistle at those pipes.
Okay, yeah.
You get another, I don't know if it's a rare animal or if it's just like another kind of like harder to get animal. But yeah, so like depending on.
So what happens when you give the rare animal to your chow?
I mean, it's kind of the same thing as a normal animal, but I think they give them like more XP and like whatever. Because if it's like a rare, like there's a sea monster like animal, there's like a sea creature. So like that would buff up their swim. And then they would also get like that sea creature, like they would get like gills or something. That would get weird, like, or they would turn green or something.
That's cool.
Yeah.
They should do like a spinoff chow game just so you can go take care of your chows and. I guess it would just kind of be like the Tamagotchi thing, whatever.
All right.
3D Tamagotchi pet.
What else did you like, Mallory?
Well, that was actually, we've talked about almost all of my pros, I think. I loved the hero and villain aspect. It is the first time you got to play as villains, and the fact that it is 2 different games. And then the Chow Gardens are just like, like I said, probably my favorite part, which is why the challenge was what it was, is because, like, the Chow Gardens are just amazing.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so those are, like, my biggest pros. It's, yeah, just nice. A fun, diverse game.
I also like the camera angles when you're doing something cool, you know, like when it zooms out and lets you, like, look at Sonic going around the circles or the rings or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Or, like, I think they did a really good job of having some really cool like camera angles. Like there's one I think in the first level where you're like he's coming down but the camera is like under him, so I don't know, they're kind of creative in that aspect. And then I also liked the different variety of game plays, I guess. Mm-hmm. You know,
yeah,
because you have Sonic and Shadow, right? All of their levels are just like run levels, like what would you call that? Like
I think platforming.
Yeah,
quote unquote.
Fast platforming.
Like, or something. Yeah, like very fast.
Run.
Yeah, fast, very fast platforming. And then you've got, what is it, Dr. Eggman and Tails, right? And they're basically just like shooting stuff mostly. And then you've got, who are the other two?
Knuckles and Rouge.
Yeah, Knuckles and Rouge. And theirs is, what would you call that? Like scavenger hunting, kind of?
I'd say like kind of more adventure platforming where you're kind of exploring or exploration.
Yeah. I'm not good at the names of like the types of games. But theirs is cool too because you kind of like you're exploring a level. You're looking for either like three keys or three pieces of gem or whatever.
Yeah.
And you have this like radar at the bottom. And it kind of like lets you know when you're hot or cold. So you just have to keep using that until you find like the exact spot to get whatever it is you're looking for. I liked those. I think those are my favorite levels.
It was nice because they were like open world too. They're not linear. So you are able to kind of like you said, explore around and kind of like you're not just like on this set path.
Yeah, I feel like it wasn't as easy to die in those levels as it was the other ones. So wasn't quite as stressful, but yeah, I don't know. Those were kind of fun. I thought those were fun.
Yeah, and my final pro is the speed of the game is really good, not just because of the gameplay, but because it ran at 60 FPS on the Dreamcast and GameCube hardware, and that's really impressive for 2001.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't really know what that means to like to me. That really doesn't mean anything, but
it means the game runs fast. Yeah. So like there's no like little laggy bits and stuff. Like it runs really smooth. And that's pretty important for a Sonic game.
Yeah, I feel like when you have a Sonic game, you have to make sure that like it can run.
Yeah,
fast,
yeah, that's
just
probably
like
one of the most important things.
Yeah, I think I've heard that they actually took some of the assets out so that they could make the game run faster.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense. Also, we kind of talked about this during the fun facts, but the music is really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, like we were listening to the soundtrack the other night, like on the way to dinner and stuff, just rocking out. Yeah, like for the podcast, you know. They just put a lot of effort, I think, into it, even though like the lyrics are cheesy or whatever. I mean, it's Sonic. They're not like writing it for the radio or anything. But
it really sets
a tone. Like it gets you in the mood to like play the game, you know. Yeah,
they said they really wanted the music to stand out, and it really does because it is good, and just the different music stylings I think go really well.
And isn't Sonic kind of known for their music? Like
I feel like almost
any Sonic game I've seen has like good music.
They get people to like write the stuff specifically for it, and they get like multiple different artists, and it's like a whole production.
Sonic 3 I think was originally supposed to have Michael Jackson doing the music for it.
Whoa.
Which would have been nuts.
Dang.
Yeah, it didn't
end up, that's like high profile.
Right?
It didn't end up happening, but yeah.
Darn.
Yeah. But anyway.
Well, yeah, I knew it didn't.
So, Nikki, did you have anything that you didn't like about the game?
Oh, my God. Oh, I'm ready to hear it.
Okay, I don't hate this game or anything. Don't get me wrong. But I just think that my personal skill sets for video game playing in this game don't line up very well. If I wanted to be good at this, I would have to put in a lot of hours to get good. But it's still fun if you're just playing it casually. Like, I wasn't trying to beat the game. You know, I didn't put that kind of pressure on myself.
Yeah.
I was just trying to play as far as I could so we could talk about it. But, dude, I suck so bad at this game. Like, I really do. It's so hard.
I honestly do feel like the controls, and I know that's like gamer 101 complaint or whatever, but like the controls, I think when like it's been ported, I have not played it on Steam. I've only played it on the Wii with the GameCube and what all that good stuff. So I just don't feel like the controls were as smooth as when I was like playing it on my GameCube, which we still have our GameCube, but it doesn't work.
Yeah.
So I wasn't able to play it on that, but I wonder if, like, the controls were a little bit better, if it'd just be easier. Because there was a level that we couldn't even get past. And I was like, I know for a fact I used to be able to beat this game.
Yeah.
And I could not get past this level because the controls were just garbage.
Oh, my gosh. What level was it? Do you remember?
It was a Sonic level. It was, like, I mean, it was towards the end of the hero journey. I don't remember what it's called. But he is in, like, the space station. And you have, like, the little like jelly monsters.
Oh yeah.
And the Xboxes that they actually had to change the color of, because the there's boxes in that level that used to have a green X in it, and they had to change it to red so it didn't look like an Xbox.
That's funny.
Fun. But yeah, so whatever that level was, it is like the second to last, I think, level in the hero journey. But I could not get past it. And I was like, I know I used to be able to beat this.
Is that the one where that dude was doing that crazy trick where he was like floating above Earth and then he had to like drop down?
I'm
in
not
the speed
sure.
run?
Yeah.
It's the one where you can change the gravity.
Yeah, like, that. Yeah. That's what he was doing. Yeah,
that one.
Yeah, he was doing like, yeah, it was crazy. He was doing some weird trick. And it took him like 3 times to get it. So I knew it was hard if it took him 3 times to get it right. But yeah, the Steam version, it's still glitchy too. So like some of the controls, like there was times, and I don't know, maybe it was just me getting mad, but I was like, I swear I pressed the button and it like to jump, and then I did not jump. I just fell into the water, and I'm like, I already suck bad enough. I don't need the like buttons to not work. But
it's like one of the most common complaints from people. I pushed the button.
Exactly.
I mean, it happened like several times where it was like that. I'm like, okay, I don't know, like not every time. Like it wasn't me every time.
Yeah.
But anyways, and then there was like one level where I was playing, trying to search for the emeralds, mm-hmm. and my radar thing was like not working correctly. Oh man, I was so pissed.
How am I supposed to find it?
I was like digging through every little inch of the wall. I was like, I don't understand what's going on. But I eventually just died and started over, and then it worked again. So I was like, okay, I guess this is a glitch. So I don't know. I guess just because it's older, it's just got
sometimes,
some glitches in
sometimes
there.
Sometimes your radar can go off, and it could still be like in the room next to you, or it could be below you, like in a room above you or below you. Like, it's kind of, the emerald parts can be pretty tough.
Mm-hmm. But I did go outside the room and I searched the above it and all that stuff. So anyways.
Okay.
But also, like, I feel like speaking of glitchy, I don't know if this is just how the game was designed or if this is glitch, but like there would be parts where you'd be playing the game and the camera angle would just be not so you could see what you were doing. Like, you'd be trying to go forward, but the camera angle would be, like, facing you, so you're walking towards the camera, and so you couldn't see, like, what was in front of you if you needed
that's
to jump or anything like that.
The camera is the true villain in this game.
Right?
It really is. There were so many times where you couldn't even see what you were doing because of the automatic camera angle was
not
correct.
It does not let you do anything with the camera. The only time you can control the camera is if you're completely standing still. The second you start to move, it will snap the camera to whatever position it wants you. It does not let you do anything with the camera.
Yeah, and even if you're standing still and you're trying to look around, it's very limited to how you can move the camera angle.
Yeah, and so I feel like especially on like those Sonic levels where you're supposed to be going fast and you're like, I want to go fast, but I have no idea where I'm going.
Exactly.
And I have no idea like when I need to jump or like, you know, dodge something. So yeah, that was actually one of my cons, because like I do like the environment, and like we were saying before in the pros, like some of the camera angles are really cool, like in the mm-hmm. jungle one where he's like on a vine and he's like dropping down, like there's some really cool stuff. But when you're actually playing and you can't see where you're going in a Sonic game, that's a little tough.
And you only have so many lives, and then you have to start the whole level over.
Yeah.
So it's kind of crucial.
Right.
And it makes it really hard to explore in a level, because in order to explore it, like at all, you pretty much have to stop moving so you can move the camera, which just kills all the momentum.
Yeah. And maybe that was because of like what you were talking about earlier with like the frame rate and all that stuff or whatever.
No.
The speed
the camera,
of the game.
The camera has nothing to do
it
with the
frame
rate.
It wouldn't slow it down. It wouldn't like slow the game down at all.
I think they were worried about the camera getting like stuck into walls or something in certain spots. Mm. So they do forced camera shots.
Yeah.
And it just does not. It's not good.
It makes a hard game even harder.
Yeah.
Well, especially because like, and I'm just going to say City Escape because, like I said, I played that level over and over again to just farm stuff, so I know it really well. But there's, like, a spot where, like, you're running down a building and then you're supposed to go through a loop, and the camera is, like, rotating while you're doing that. So you want to be holding forward because you're just going in a straight line, but because the camera is moving, your directional goal or whatever is also moving. So you have to like almost like move the joystick with where the camera is angling you. And it is like,
it's
do
hard.
I need a degree in physics to know how to work a Sonic game?
Exactly.
It doesn't, like, what is happening?
Because that's another thing I have is like, it's really easy to just lose control.
Yeah.
If you're like, especially like in the, when you're playing a Sonic or Shadow and you're just running, if you like accidentally like nudge your joystick over right. like one little millimeter, he is like running off the track and you're like, oh crap. So yeah. It's like, you really have to keep it very still.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of my other cons was actually the bad sound mixing. Cause in the cutscenes, like the music is so loud. And I don't know if this was like this on Steam, but for my GameCube one, the music is so loud while they're talking. Hmm. It is so hard to understand what they're saying. And
oh,
luckily
really?
It's all like, luckily there's like closed captions for everything. Did you guys not experience that?
No, I think they I think they must have adjusted for the Steam version.
They must have, because you can't tell what they're saying.
You just have like, to read the
you
captions.
You just have to read it. And then another thing about porting it from the Japanese version to the English version, and it's like the runtime is with the Japanese version, which it takes them shorter like phrases to say what they say in English.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of the times, I don't know if this happened with you guys, but a lot of times when they're speaking, they will talk over each other. Because they're saying a phrase and like they're saying it in English as opposed to Japanese, and they're actually will start talking over each other. Did you guys notice that?
No, I don't think they.
No,
I think they must have fixed that.
Did they fix all of that?
Yeah, I think so, because it wasn't that bad. Like,
the next time you guys come over, I'm going to put this on. Or you can even just find YouTube videos where they show it. But it's, like, bad because conversations are happening and, like, three people are talking at the same time.
I mean, I noticed that the, like, mouthing doesn't line up with the words.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I just thought that was, like, back in the day video games.
What's nuts to me is the fact that they fixed it and I still had that as a con.
Oh, wow.
That sound mixing?
I didn't have that.
Well, that they... The dubs, yeah, they couldn't, like, it was weird. Like, even when there was just, like, a one-syllable word, they would have the word, and then they'd have the character's mouth move. Like, you couldn't just, like, delay it a little bit to, like, match it up with the character's. It felt very lazy. I don't know.
I just thought it was because it was an old game, and it was, like, maybe back then it was hard to, like, match
maybe it was running movements. At a higher frame rate, and so the dubs didn't match as well. I don't know, but it doesn't. It did not look good when you got these cutscenes.
Yeah.
Yeah, when it's like 2001, you're just kind of like, like the fact that their mouths are even moving in somewhat of a fluid motion.
Yeah.
Makes
good
sense.
Enough.
But yeah, nowadays we're just looking at it and like, yikes.
Yeah.
Like, this is rough.
So one of my cons was the story.
Oh my
gosh. It's pretty bad.
Yeah. Aww.
So Dr. Robotnik blows up an island, then he blows up the moon, and then he tries to blow up the Earth because he wants to conquer it. It's like, dude, if you blow up the Earth, there's nothing to conquer, and then where do you live?
Well, that's why at the end they all come together as one team to stop it.
Yeah.
Why does he want to blow up the Earth?
But
I know he wants to conquer it. He says multiple times he wants to conquer it.
Right.
But if you blow it up, you can't really conquer it.
Yeah.
There's nothing there.
But aren't there like several movies where the villain's like, I will blow up the Earth so I can rule it.
Right?
Yeah.
I feel just, like, didn't they make fun of that, like, in Austin Powers or something?
I'm sure they did.
Yeah. It just didn't make any sense. His motivation as a character to blow up the Earth.
Yeah, true.
Well,
they could have given him a little bit more, a better motivation.
Yeah. Another thing that I realized is, like, the whole Maria subplot, quote-unquote.
Mm-hmm.
Because Eggman finds his grandfather's, like, video journal or whatever. Or did you guys see that part?
No. Into depth, please.
Okay, so what happens is, like, to go with, like, the quote-unquote plot, because it is a very loose interpretation of a plot. So Dr. Eggman knew that his grandfather was building this ultimate life form.
Okay.
And that's how he finds Shadow. And Shadow's like, okay, meet me at this, like, space station called the Ark with Chaos Emeralds, because there's actually, like, a really cool, like, destructive machine here that your grandfather was working on. We need Chaos Emeralds to, like, activate it, and that's how he's, like, blowing up the moon and the Earth and stuff. And so, like, towards the end, you start seeing that they find, like, Eggman's grandfather's journals, and they, like, read through them, and then he's got, like, a little video of, like, a guy who looks like a skinny Eggman, basically, with like the same mustache.
Yeah.
Nice. So he's, but he's like tied up because like, the, you know, the government shut him down and he's pissed about it.
Oh my gosh.
So like he's going through this and it's still kind of unclear exactly like where Maria fits into this. But Maria was also his granddaughter, which they never address that like she's Eggman's cousin, sister, nothing like that. But yeah, she's like on the space station arc. And Shadow maybe knows who she is, because that's another whole, like, weird-ass thing when it comes to Shadow and his, like, existential crisis of, like, who he is. So Maria is on the Ark space station, like, as the government is trying to, like, blow it up or deactivate it, and she, like, dies on the space station. And, like, Dr. Eggman's grandfather, this is before he dies, but, like, he gets really mad about that and then, like, finishes his... the beam that's supposed to blow up the Earth.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But then, like, he does, like, get caught by the government and, like, killed or something like that. I don't know. So, like, that's part of the plot.
Jeez. And it's, like... that's a heavy side plot.
That's why, like, the code to, like, you know, activate the cannon is Maria, is because that's her name and stuff like that. And it's like, okay, well, Eggman, you just said that this was your grandfather. And in, like, the journals, it's saying, like, yeah, my granddaughter Maria was, like, on the Ark when it blew up. And I'm like... so they're brother, sister,
yeah,
cousins. Yeah. Like, right? Eggman never mentions it. I was like, this, what happened here? It just doesn't make any sense. So I totally agree that the plot is so confusing.
Yeah, for sure.
Also, Amy, like, I like her as a character, and literally her only purpose is to complain about not being included and then to be kidnapped later. Like, that's it.
That's true.
That's, like, yeah, that's all she does.
Yeah. And she loves Sonic, you know, right?
Yeah, but I don't know. I feel like they kind of wasted her character in this game.
She could have been cooler, for
So she actually is a playable character in Sonic Heroes.
Yeah.
Which is another game that came out after this, which is actually a really bad game. It's, like, just... not very good.
Oh, is it because Amy is playable?
No, it's just a really broken game. I think that was one of the ones that, like, Sonic, like, or, like, you know, whoever's making it were just, like, trying to crank out games. Uh-huh. And so they made it and it's just really broken.
That sucks.
But she is a playable character in that. And she has a hammer.
Justice for Amy. We need justice for Amy Rose. Justice for Amy. She needs a good game, guys. Give her a good game.
All right, Nikki.
Sega, if you're listening.
Justice for Amy, hashtag.
Yeah.
Nikki, what's another con you had?
Well, I think that we've pretty much covered everything, and I already sort of mentioned it, but it sucks that you only have, like, 3 or 4 lives to get through a whole level. And I guess Eric said they roll over, but yeah, I don't know. I never had any to roll over, so I don't know.
20 lives or something like that.
Well, and isn't it, like, if you collect so many rings, you also get more lives. Is that right?
I think so. I mean, that's true with all the other Sonic games.
Huh. Well, I don't think I ever got that many lives, because, like, I still got game over a lot, so... But other than that, I mean, I don't really have any other cons. We kind of covered them all for me, anyways.
I have just a couple more.
Uh-oh.
One of mine was the lack of branching paths. Like, for me, this is one of the fundamental features that every great Sonic game has. Branching paths give a lot of replayability to a level and kind of allow you to explore different parts each time you play through. And they might have been limited by the hardware, which is why they didn't add it, but... to me, like, having different paths through a level is kind of one of the defining features of a Sonic game.
So I think, like, I remember them wanting to do divergent paths, but I think kind of similarly to, like, Mario 64, I think there were, like, challenges that you could do within each level. I don't remember what they all, but it was, like, collecting all of the coins. But in some of those, it's impossible because there's, like, you have to choose either go after these coins or these coins.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there's, like, I think there's different challenges, but there's not, like, actual, like, divergent paths. It's just, like, you know, defeat all of the enemies or something. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Yeah. Like, but yeah,
I feel like the game really could have used something where you could go, like, different directions. And then even if they come back together, it kind of at least gives you different options to see when you're going through a level multiple times. But, and then the last thing I had was the Chao principle. I don't think I've ever seen a more useless tutorial character. I was trying to figure out how to plant seeds. So I talked to him about it. And he literally told me that it was a secret.
Wow. Like, and dude, he's the one that's supposed to help you.
Yeah, it's your only purpose is to give me information, and you won't even fucking tell me how to plant the goddamn seeds. It's like, dude,
I hate you. You're the worst.
Yeah, I did not like the principal.
Yeah, the principal is pretty useless. Did you guys? Well, that's why I was like, you can look up like strategies and stuff, because like I don't think you learn anything from the actual guides in the game. So yeah.
But real quick, did you guys name your chows?
I named one of them.
Well, do you remember the name?
Pinky.
Nice.
That's really funny.
We named one of mine, didn't we? Wasn't it like what was it called? Like
Chow Lin or something?
Yeah, Chow Lin. It had Chow in it.
Did you go through like the name generator or whatever?
Yeah. Did you name yours?
I did. Well, because like I named it after my like golden chow that I had growing up, which I don't know how he got deleted. It made me really sad that I no longer have him, but his name was Blackie. So very similar to Pinky, I had Blackie.
Nice.
And he was like my prize chow that like I basically just funneled everything into. So I had Blackie too.
Aw. I read something on the child that like once they're 5 years old or something, they either get reincarnated or they die or something.
What? They do.
I never got that far.
And if they had like a happy life, they get like a pink shell to reincarnate. Or I was just reading about the chows because I thought they were cool and whatever. But
the child part is really deep. In fact, if we're done with cons, we can move to strategy.
Yeah, we can move to strategy.
And I feel like most of our strategy is probably going to be talking about the chow.
Yeah,
probably.
I did have one non-chow thing. There are little tutorial chow all over the place. My advice is if you get stuck, just go to one of those. They'll tell you what to do pretty much. Almost at any tricky part of the level. And then if you die enough times on a boss, they'll just be a chow voice telling you how to do it.
Yeah. Sometimes they give you advice even when you don't want it.
It's true.
Because you've already heard it 5,000 times and you're already messing up.
And you're still accidentally running into that same chow.
It's like, don't run around in circles. Maybe it's a good idea to find a way out. And it's like, I'm looking.
That's the point of this level. Yeah,
they might as well say, you suck at this game. Maybe you should get better. Like, I know. Okay, I know. Don't rub it in.
So to me, this is a game where you raise chow. Oh, and the Sonic characters are there. And you can play some Sonic levels, I guess, if you want.
Well, you have to if you want to raise your chow to be anything decent.
And I had a few questions that I was hoping Mallory could kind of clear up about raising the chow. All
right. Test your knowledge.
Yeah. So the first kind of thing I got confused by is, is it better to give the chow drugs or to let them touch animals?
So it's actually like they're one and the same.
Okay.
They give the same amount of like experience. The animals, if you saw in the little box in the bottom corner, they are color coded. And so they're color coded according to like the actual little vials. So they like whatever color they are, like I think yellow is swim. So if it's a yellow like boxed animal, they'll do swim.
Yeah.
But it is actually the same. It's either the same or the vials are double.
Hmm.
I'm trying to remember. Attributes like run and swim are like on the same plane. You can't have like a swim type chow that's also a like a swim type chow that's also a run type chow. They can either be one or the other, because when they evolve, they evolve into like specific like traits as well.
Huh.
So
I should have been trying to match up the traits better with the different chow I was raising.
That is a strategy. It depends on what strategy you go with raising your chow.
I was just trying to let them touch animals because I assumed that was healthier than giving them drugs. But
I was just giving them everything. I was just like, I found all these things. Take it.
And yeah, I mean, I would give them everything, but you know, you can only carry 10 items. So I always tried to make sure the items I was carrying in were animals.
Oh, you can only give them 10?
Yeah, you can only bring in 10 at a time.
Yeah.
Oh.
So anything.
I didn't know that. I thought I was just taking everything.
Once you have 10 items, like the first thing you picked up will be dropped. And,
gotcha.
Yeah, and it'll, I'll go out. So yeah, you can only bring in the last things you picked up.
Okay. I did not ever realize that. I thought I was just bringing back everything.
Yeah. I thought it was partly because animals were harder to find usually than like the drugs or drives, I guess is what they call them. So I assume, like, okay, the animals are harder to find, and they're probably not drugging the animal. I don't know.
It didn't look like drugs to me.
I thought it was drugs.
It looked like little crystals or something.
Yeah, maybe crystals. I think they call them like drives or something.
Yeah.
They're like drives or vials. They're like chaos drives or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, I thought they were like little vials or something. I'm like, I'm going to get this one buff by giving them all these muscle drugs.
And like, don't forget to pet your chows.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I petted the crap out of those chows.
So well, I feel like people like might like dismiss it because it doesn't necessarily show that it ups any of their like levels or anything. But yeah, it's important. You gotta show love.
Happiness is a hidden stat. You gotta take it take it to the doctor, and the doctor will tell you if it's happy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I had another question. The game tells you not to spoil the chow, but I have no idea what spoils them. Is like giving them too much food spoiling them, or do you know what spoils them?
Honestly, like, I've never dealt with, like, a spoiled chow.
Hmm.
Like, I don't... Because like I was saying before, I kind of, like, fed everything into one. That was my
strategy. So you just boiled the crap out of one and neglected the other ones.
Aww.
And it did... Well, I didn't, like,
poor other one.
You know, strategy. No, I just, like, I did kind of, like, curate one probably more than the others. I did, like, want to create other ones that, like, looked fun. But, like, as far as, you know, doing the actual challenge, like, I kind of poured more into one. But,
yeah.
Like, yeah, I never dealt with spoiling a chow. Like, I don't know if, like, they got sassy or, like, what. I mean, I actually never dealt with that. So, I'm not sure.
Hmm. And my final question is, the game lets you, like, overhand throw the chow.
Oh, yeah.
If you're running while holding them and you try to set one down, I have done this by accident many times. Am I hurting the chow by doing this?
It does make them dizzy. And, it does.
You hurt their head, probably.
Well, and, like, because that's how I used to open the eggs. I would throw them against the wall.
Yeah, that's what Nikki did.
Yeah, I did that on accident.
Because you can obviously let them hatch, like, naturally, or you can just, like, throw them against the wall. And William was very convinced that if you did that, then they were going to be, like, a mean chow for the rest of his life.
But you just, like, traumatize them.
Yeah, but I don't think that's the case. But, like, I do think it, like, it probably lowers their happiness. Like, if you're going to abuse them, like, it's going to lower their happiness.
Mm-hmm.
So you just have to, like, make sure, like, that's when you, like, run over and you're like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. And you, like, pet it and you, like, pick it up and you, like, give it all the food and all that stuff. But, yeah, like, so I think it just lowers their happiness. I don't think it, like, makes them sick or anything like that. But I think it just makes them
sad. When you say by accident.
I was like, really?
He was like,
really?
I wanted to test to see if I could do it.
Right.
No. Really, honestly, like, I was surprised my character did it. It's like, I'm trying to put it down, and all of a sudden, my character just, like, fucking overhand throws it. I'm like, what are you doing?
No, I can't control my body.
So this isn't, like, a chow, but in the Dreamcast version, in the Hero Garden, you could actually drown in the pool as Tails because water level was so high, and Tails is the shortest character. You could actually stand in there long enough to actually drown.
Poor tail.
What happened if you died in the chow world?
I think it just, like, sends you back out to, like, the next level or whatever. Like, you're not still in the chow garden. It just sends you back out to the over, like, map or whatever.
Yeah.
But
it's funny. Yeah.
So they had to lower the water level for, like, later versions.
That's funny. So did you guys have any strategy now that Mallory's answered all my questions?
I don't know if I actually did answer any of them, but...
you tried.
Good enough. I really sucked at this game, so my strategy was probably wrong. Let's go with Eric's strategy and Mallory's strategy.
Let's go with just Mallory's strategy, because I don't feel like I was doing very good at the game either.
Well, like, the strategy, like, with the actual challenge... was, you know, I played through the game just because, like, I did enjoy it. But, like, with going with the actual challenge and, like, trying to level up the chows in order to do, like, the racing and stuff, I did, like, just replay one level a lot. I just played
City Escape. That's really smart. Like, I did not think of that. I should have done that. That would have been way easier.
And just, yeah, kind of, like, farm all those vials and stuff like that. And that's how I, like, leveled it up. So that was basically my strategy. And also just, like, putting it all into one chow. Like, if I got animals and stuff, I had my other ones and I would like to, like, make them look really cool. But for, like, time's sake and for, you know, just kind of efficiency, I just kind of poured everything into one. Gave him all the fruit, like, you know, raised the stamina and everything. So, yeah.
Well, what about strategy for just beating the game in general, like not just the challenge you gave us.
Go fast.
Go fast. Go fast. Gotta go fast.
Be good at Sonic.
Yeah. No. I mean, yeah, with the Sonic ones, it really is like muscle memory. Yeah. So it really is just like knowing the level, like knowing where the coins are going to be, that kind of thing. With like Knuckles and Rouge and like finding the emeralds, they are in like different places every time you play. Like there are set places. They are within that level, but it can be like different every time. They're not going to be in the same place every time. Yeah, it's like
randomly generated. Yeah,
and so those were weirdly enough the harder ones for me because like I get very overwhelmed when I do get into some more open world stuff with like trying to find that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Like, have I been here before? Exactly. Am I at the same spot? I just go around in circles?
Yeah, this rock looks very familiar.
Yeah, and some of the areas do look very similar to one another, so you can feel like you're going in circles when you're actually not.
Right. And so utilizing the computers in those areas and getting the hints from the computers.
I didn't know what those... I tried to use those, but I don't know. They didn't really give me very good hints, I guess.
So you get, like, three hints per emerald. I think per location. And so like I utilized those a lot.
I should have used them more. I did it like once, but I was like, I don't understand what this is for.
I pretty much ignored the computers and just like just try to like go all around the level until my little radar went off.
Yeah, I think one of them, it took me like over 30 minutes to beat it because I could not find the right spot.
That was probably my main strategy.
Oh, and then if you're playing like Eggman or Tails, you gotta scan. That's a really big strategy.
Mm-hmm. That's basically like
hold B and just scan, scan, scan.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, kind of like rotate the joystick around.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what I did. I just like hold down B and just like spin it around a lot.
Yeah.
For real. What all I can hone in on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't realize you could scan until Eric saw me playing. He's like, why don't you just scan? And I'm like, what do you mean? And he's like, you can hold B down. And I'm like, what? That was a game changer for real.
Yeah.
After you learn that, it makes things a lot easier.
I think they tell you that like in the first level.
I probably missed it.
Yeah, you probably missed the chow.
Yeah.
Darn.
What was your strategy, Eric?
My strategy was to ask Mallory all the strategy questions.
Good job.
Did you know that depending on hero or villain, whichever one you go into the Chao Garden as and love on the Chao, like that's the way your Chao goes?
I looked that up eventually, but I feel like I learned it too late. And I was kind of going back and forth between the hero game and the villain game.
Yeah.
So they were both kind of raising the Chao. And so like I was just raising neutral Chao, which is not.
Same. I didn't realize it until after when I was like looking up all this stuff about Chao's.
Which is like, crap. I probably need to like start over or something.
Yeah. Or, I mean, maybe if you started now, you could like persuade them to go one way.
And what happens when the little dome forms over them or whatever?
So that's them actually like they do have two different. Oh,
I never
like,
got a dome.
That's the like, they have like two different phases, and so they start off as babies. You know, they're crawling around.
Yeah.
So the first like the blue dome that they go into the first time, that's them actually going into adulthood. So that's when they'll actually start like walking around upright and they.
So they mature, basically.
They mature. And
so that happened to one of mine, but I didn't see a blue dome around it. Yeah, so maybe I just looked away.
Because they can happen really at any time. So sometimes you'll walk in and you'll see it in there. And other times, like, you're just like, oh, shit, you're, like, walking on your feet now.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it happens after a certain level. I think it's, like, level 30 or something like that. I can't remember. But, like, it happens after a while. And that's them going into, like, adulthood.
Cool.
And that's also when they, I think, take on that, like, whatever trait they were, like, given the most.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think that there is, like, a neutral one as well. Where, like, if you are giving them all, like, all the different types of animals or vials, they're still like a neutral Chao. There's like a whole chart showing like dark, neutral, hero, and then whatever like attribute or neutral, and like there's certain characteristics that they get whenever they like, you know, go into that maturity.
Oh my gosh,
and stuff.
That's
cool.
Yeah. I'm gonna look that chart up.
Yeah, do it. It is
so
cool.
It just shows like all the different kinds of Chaos that you could make, I guess.
Wow. Yeah, that's nuts.
That's so cool.
Yeah, they really put a ton of depth into raising the Chao, which is really cool, which is, like I said, I think it's the best part of the game.
Yeah, me too. I like it. Kind of steals the show a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, just, yeah, like the variety, because there's also, like, if you give your child just only one type of animal, like, the entire time while it's a baby, it'll mature into, like, some, like, unlockable chow. Like, I don't remember exactly what it does, but, like, it's a special chow, like, if you've only given it, like, tigers.
Yeah.
But you can't give it anything else. You can't give it, like, any other, I think, vials or, like, fruit or anything. You can only give it, like, one type of animal.
So, is there, like, a community out there that just plays, like, for the chows and tries to create like all the different kinds of chows
create. There's like playthroughs on YouTube of chow gardens only. Like we found one last night. It's like 55 videos of this dude like only in the chow garden. And I think he's modded it where he can bring in like more than just 10 items.
Oh.
Don't call me on. I don't know how he did it, but he was in there with like a lot more because he was like doing one color kind of at a
That's
time.
Cool.
But yeah, there's like whole like playthroughs of only chow garden.
That's cool.
Like to see a speed run of like getting to an adult chow or getting to a special special chow.
It's probably out there somewhere.
All right, the future.
Ooh, the future.
Do you have anything for the future, Nikki?
Well, I just have like one little thing. I don't know. It's not really like technically the future, but it did just happen 2 days ago and I thought it was really cool. So I think September 23rd, a copy of the original Sonic the Hedgehog game for Sega Genesis sold for a record-breaking price of $430,500.
Wow.
Oh my gosh.
So almost half a mil. For an original Sonic the Hedgehog game.
Was that like unopened or?
No, that it looks open.
Oh
like it's
gosh.
Not in the package or anything.
Wow.
Like it's just like the cartridge, at least from the pictures that I saw.
Yeah.
And so that is actually the new record for not only the Sonic game itself, but also all-time record for any Genesis title ever.
Wow.
And I was like, who? Man, to have that kind of money.
You should hold on to some of these old games if you have them.
Exactly. Everyone, go on eBay right now, take all your old games, see what you got. Some of them might be worth a lot of money.
Yeah.
Because we were looking up trying to buy a copy of this game, right? And some of them were like $80.
Whoa.
Like $90 right on eBay for this
one. I'm not sure about Sonic Adventure 2. For the next game challenge, I was looking up some games, some old horror games like Eternal Darkness, and those games are like $100 now.
Yeah, like some, I don't know. Wow. I thought we were trying to buy this game on for like GameCube or whatever, and it was kind of expensive.
Yeah, I think it was.
But,
I think this one is also pretty expensive if you're trying to find an original either Dreamcast or GameCube copy.
Yeah, we have two GameCube copies because both William and I had copies.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's funny.
So there was a rumor Sonic Team was working on a Sonic Adventure 3, but it later turned out that that game was likely to be a new open world game called Sonic Rangers, scheduled for 2022.
Go, go, Sonic Rangers.
Right?
You got pink Sonic, green Sonic.
But
what is Sonic Rangers? So you just open world?
Kind of Breath of the Wild inspired open world Sonic game. It sounds awesome, honestly.
Yeah, that sounds kind of cool.
Yeah.
Anything else?
So the Sonic 2 movie is set to be released on April 8th, 2022.
Yes.
The movie will include the characters Knuckles and Tails.
Nice.
Yeah. I remember seeing Tails. I didn't know about Knuckles. That's going to be interesting.
Yeah.
I'm excited. I liked the first one.
I did too.
Yeah, I thought it was really funny.
Yeah.
Eric went to see it without me.
I had very, very low expectations of the first Sonic movie. To me, from a mile away, it looked like a complete train wreck. But
especially
was,
at first when they came out with like the original
yeah, that original design for Sonic was
the
so bad
that they redid that because it really made a huge difference. But I thought it was funny. I thought it was cute. I thought the story was good, and I actually liked Jim Carrey as
Dr. Robotnik.
Yeah,
he was very good.
I don't know if you know this, Eric, but like, why is he Robotnik and Eggman?
I thought Eggman was a nickname for him.
I have no idea. I don't know.
I don't think they're different characters. I think it's just you could either call him Eggman or Dr.
Robotnik. Yeah, I just wasn't sure like why he was like that was interchangeable for him.
I have no idea. I just thought it because he kind of had like an egg shape to him,
maybe
like his body. Like his head kind of looks like an egg on top of an egg.
That's true.
Yeah, it does. That would be like a super fun cosplay. I keep thinking of like someone making like a foam mustache, you know, that just goes like 2 feet out each side, you know? Oh, I would love to see that.
So I think that's part of the future of this game is I think we are cosplaying this next year.
Exactly.
And we're going to get William to be Dr. Eggman.
Yes.
Nice.
That'd be great.
Okay, so the challenge was we needed to unlock both the gardens, the dark and the light gardens.
Right, the heaven and the hell.
And win a race and win karate.
I don't even think I unlocked the gardens.
Yeah, I didn't unlock the gardens either.
I did win a race with my chow, though.
Yeah, I did win one. Yeah, actually a bunch of beginner races, but yeah, I never even unlocked karate, to be honest.
I never got to karate either. Is karate fun?
I was trying to figure out how difficult the challenge would be.
It was hard.
I don't think it was too bad. I think for me, it was just a time crunch. I didn't have enough time to do it.
Yeah.
If we had more than a couple weeks to do it, I think we could have completed it. But yeah, it's just for me, it wasn't enough time.
Yeah, I think it's just like, for me, it was really hard for me, so like it took me a long time. But yeah, I never got to karate. Is karate fun?
Karate is fun because you go up against a bunch of like
these other little chows. Punch each other and stuff.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Like, well, it's kind of like because you know they have like giant heads, so they like rear back and then they just kind of like almost like fling forward. And then there's like these little chows with little like bags over their heads, or like they're just like all these different design chows, and you can either like knock them out, like knock their health out, or you can like knock them off the little platform.
That's so funny.
And yeah, it's pretty funny. It's pretty cute.
Nice. Okay, so
yeah,
I guess
so I did not complete the challenge, obviously. I didn't even unlock the two gardens, so
I guess we're both going to have to wrap then.
Mallory, do you want to join us in rap? Were you trying to complete the challenge too, or
I like not really because I already had them unlocked. I could have started a new file, but I was just kind of like playing on my own. But I will 100% rap with you because I did give you a challenge that probably required a lot more time than I gave you. So I will rap with you.
Awesome! I can't wait to hear you rap. This is like your first time, right?
This is. I'm pretty excited.
Nice.
And it's on the record forever.
Never going away.
Never going away. Oh my God, let's hear it.
Sonic Adventure 2, now it's time to be the villain. These motherfuckers don't know about these rings I'm killing. Sonic escaping, chows are mating. Gotta go fast cause my chili dog is waiting. Eggman on the streets dishing out that crystal heat. Got Tails in his back chasing after Chaos Geek. Pumpkin Hill's spooky, Knuckles drooling over Rouge because, like, have you seen her? Shadow Dreamin' and Maria after the arc blow. I'm the ultimate life form, Chaos Control.
Ah, it's me, I'm back again. I just hatched, tell a friend. Hold me, feed me, pet me, fool. While you're out hunting, I'll be swimming in the pool. When you get back, drop that loot. Bring it all to me, especially fruit. If I'm happy, I'll be just fine. I might just choose you to align. You may be hero, neutral, or dark. But leave it up to me and I'll hit it out the park.
I'm as dark as the night. I ain't trying to be bright. Like a shadow from the light, burning embers ignite. I'm cool out of spite. You didn't even invite a contrite delight who skates out of sight. A blight on humanity. I'm high on vanity. Got my hair did. Time to cause a calamity. Insanity, it landed me in time for my arrival. The cool ass rival about to go viral. Survival of the fittest. Revival of the interest in this series. Buy me as a pillow on Pinterest. Listless, flinchless, concentrically dark. I'm so emo that I even double park.
So Eric, I think our next episode will be maybe like a week before Halloween. So does that gonna influence your game pick at all?
Oh yeah.
I'm really excited. I love scary games.
So do you wanna take a guess at what the next game is gonna be?
One of the Resident Evil games.
No. I will say,
I know
say,
you really like those.
No, it's not a Resident Evil game. Mm. I don't think you've ever played this game. I don't even think you know what it is, to be honest.
Okay, so I probably should just not guess.
And I'll say, on its surface, it looks nothing like a horror game. Like, if you were just looking at the cover of this game, you wouldn't think it's a horror game.
It's like Mickey Mouse Neighborhood or something. And then secretly you're murdering people as Mickey Mouse.
Okay, the game is Oh, I was going to say the game is also a dating sim slash graphic novel.
Oh, okay. A dating sim slash graphic novel. Okay.
Do you know it?
No.
Does Mallory know it?
I do.
What is it? What do you think it is?
I almost picked this game.
What do you think it is?
Do you want me to say it?
Go for it.
Is it Doki Doki Literature Club?
Yes.
Yeah, I've never even heard of this game before. Okay, so it's a dating sim slash...
psychological horror game.
Oh, God. Isn't that just like real dating? From sure. My memories, it's pretty like psychologically damaging.
Okay, so I have no idea if this challenge is hard or not.
Oh, gosh.
I looked it up in a list of achievements. But your challenge is...
Wait, is this game on like PlayStation or what?
It's a free game on Steam, I think, actually.
Okay, so I have to play on the computer.
Yeah, it's on Steam.
Yeah.
So it's a computer game?
Yep.
Okay.
And your challenge is kill all of your friends.
Oh, no!
Within the context of the game.
Aw, I have to kill all my friends.
You might. I don't know if you will end up killing your friends anyway or not.
Okay, because you've never played the game before.
I've never played the game, okay. But it was either, on the obviously. List of achievements to kill all of your friends.
Okay. Oh, I'm sorry in advance, friends. I'm sorry all my game fake friends that I'm going to kill. I'm sorry.
That is really funny. I almost picked that game. But I was like, no, that's a little too like intense.
That's awesome. So it was destiny for us to do it.
Yeah, yeah. I was going to say, it's going to be very appropriate for Halloween, though.
Awesome.
So.
I can't wait. I love Halloween.
Nice.
All right. Well, we'll see you guys next time.
All right. Bye.
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 As always, if you like what you heard, please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts and follow us on Instagram. And as always, we would like to know your opinions on this game and what Halloween game would you pick? All right, we'll see you next time.